On a windswept hill in an English country churchyard stands a drab gray slate tombstone. The quaint stone bears an epitaph not easily seen unless you stoop over and look closely. The faint etchings read, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Our words matter, but how well do you do when it comes to taming your own tongue?
One minute we're blessing people with our words, and the next minute with the same mouth, with the same tongue, we are cursing people with our words.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Do your words serve to build, strengthen, and encourage others? Or do they serve to tear down? This week, Charles Tapp gets to the heart of our words and why God expects better from believers when it comes to the words we use. As he shares his message, the weight of words.
How many of you have ever heard the old adage that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me"? Have you heard that before? And how many of you know that is completely false? It is completely false. Truth be told, although words don't have the power to break our bones, our words do have the power to break something infinitely more valuable and infinitely more precious, and that is words have the power to break someone's spirit. Now, you may not be able to detect the damage our words can cause on an MRI or a CT scan, but the damage is real nonetheless. And sadly, many, if not most of us here today, can relate to that reality. Although sticks and stones cannot break our bones, many times we have heard words thrown at us that have broken our spirits. Just think about it for a moment. When was the last time you heard someone say to you, or to someone that you know, something like, "You'll never amount to anything," or, "You're no good, you're just like your father"? Have you heard that before? Or something like, "You're just not good enough. You're just not smart enough. You're just not man enough. You just don't have what it takes." And whether we realize it or not, our words carry a great deal of weight. And the reason why is because they carry within them the power, the ability to either create life or to destroy life, either to build life up or to tear something down, or to tear something apart. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Look at what it says. "Death and life are where, dear friends? In the power of the tongue. And those who do what? Love it will eat its fruit." I love how this reads in the original Hebrew. It goes something like this. "Death and life are in the hand of the tongue." You see, the symbol of the hand throughout Scripture has always been associated with two things. The first is power, and the second one is might. For instance, the term "God's right hand" that is found throughout Scripture, and especially in Psalms 110, is given to represent the Messiah, who has the power and the might and the authority to subdue all of his enemies. Even today, the hand, especially when it is clenched, carries with it the connotation of power, and it carries with it the connotation of might. So the meaning behind Proverbs 18 and verse 21 is clear. There is a great deal of power contained within the tongue, the creator of words. The power either to build something or someone up or to tear them down. Consider this for a moment. Words have the power to start wars. Words have the power to wreck entire economies. Just let the chairman of the Federal Reserve talk about changing the interest rate. Words have the power to destroy someone's career. Words have caused people to take their own lives. And we're experiencing a great deal of that today with the internet and with cyberbullying and all that is going on in social media today. But have you ever heard someone say in response to their words, well, it's just words? Not true. For those of us who use words in our work and preachers, we use words all the time. We struggle with choosing just the right word to make just the right point at just the right time. And sometimes words are even more powerful than our actions. For words can inspire us. Words can inform us. And yes, words can even persuade us. Why? Because words have weight. Words have influence. Words have the power to bring something into existence that was never there before, for good or for evil. And probably without a doubt, the weightiest of all words in Scripture has to be those found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to verse 3. Look at what it says. In the what? Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Bible says, was hovering over the face of the waters. Look at verse 3. Then God, what? Said, let there be light. And there was light. God created an entire universe with words. Because words have weight. Words have the power to either destroy, and words have the power, dear friends, to create. For they are more than just elements of speech and thought. But words, these words that many times flow so easily from our mouths, have a way of revealing in many cases and exposing in other cases the true nature of someone's heart. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to verse 37. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what? Good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36, but I say to you that every what? Idle word men may speak, and that goes for women too, amen? They will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by your words, by my words, we will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. In other words, Jesus is saying our words, our speech, are the pictures of our minds. We're not detached. Our words are not detached from our thoughts, from our being and who we are. Words, the ones we use, reveal the true nature of our hearts. And when Proverbs 18:21 says that And those who love it, talking about the tongue here, will eat its fruit. It's just another way of saying that when you and I speak words, whether words of good or words of evil, our words have consequences. Our words bear fruit. Simply put, our words are like seeds that are planted in somebody's heart, and once those words take root, they will bear fruit. And depending on the type of word that takes root in our heart determines the type of fruit that will be produced. If you're a child and when you were growing up and all you heard were negative words from your parents, those words will take root in your heart and they will ultimately bear fruit. But on the flip side of that is, if you're growing up as a child and all you hear are words of encouragement, words that you can do it, words that you're good enough, then those words too take root and those words too will bear fruit. Who says amen to that today? Aren't you glad for good words? I love what the psalmist David says in Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, "Your word have I hidden," meaning planted in my heart, "that I might not sin against you." And I love how this reads in the Amplified. The Amplified Bible has become one of my favorites of late. I love how it just digs in and expands the meaning. It reads this way in the Amplified. It says, "Your word have I treasured and stored in my heart." Don't you love that? I've treasured God's word, David says, and I have stored it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Please don't miss this. For David clearly understood the weight that God's word could have in a person's life when it comes to combating evil and sin that is in the world. It is the same message that Jesus shared in John 17 and verse 17 when he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, for your word is truth." But the most in-depth treatise that I've come across on the weight that my words can have and your words can have, either to create life or to destroy it, either to build up or to tear down, has to be what is shared in the third chapter of James' epistle. Now, it's important to note that there are three men in the New Testament with the name James. There was the son of Zebedee and the brother of John. There was the son of Alphaeus, one of the disciples. And then there was the brother of Jesus, who was also named James. And many historians and theologians believe that it is Jesus' brother that actually wrote this epistle of James. And when you read James' epistle, you get the idea that he's writing to these Jewish believers who are scattered in the dispersion. And he's trying to encourage them because they're going through some very difficult times. They're having challenges from without, but they're also having challenges from within. And the main issue that the church in those days was dealing with from within, as James was addressing here, is the issue of the weight that our words can have. He goes on to say throughout the first three chapters that how you and I use our words are a test of our spiritual maturity. Let's take a look at it. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 3, verses 1 and verse 2. "My brethren, let not many of you become what? Teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." How many of you can relate to that? We stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, meaning in speech, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That's powerful. Please don't miss this. James warns against just anyone becoming a teacher, because not everyone is qualified, James says, to be a teacher. And it's dangerous, he says, to give someone, and he's talking about teaching as it relates to the word, it's dangerous to give someone this responsibility. Why? Because words have weight.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Weight of Words. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And do your words serve to build, strengthen, and encourage others? Or do they serve to tear down? This week, Charles Tapp gets to the heart of our words and why God expects better from believers when it comes to the words we use. As he concludes his message, The Weight of Words.
And how many parents we have here today? How many times has your child come home from school to tell you what the teacher said they should do instead of what you said the parent they should do? Many times the teacher's word has more what? Weight than your word. I'll never forget, I was out on the basketball court with my youngest daughter. She's about to turn 29 now, but I was teaching her how to play basketball because she made the basketball team at school. And I'm the one who gave her her first ball. So let's just get perspective here. And I'm teaching her how to shoot and how to dribble. And she said, coach said that's not the way to do it. What do you mean, coach said? I'm your father. I gave you your first basketball. I taught you how to dribble. I taught you how to hit that three-point shot from the corner, all net swish. Well, coach said. So James says, don't just give anybody the responsibility to teach because their words have weight. And I also love here that James understands that all of us stumble. He said, we all stumble. We all say things that we wish we could take back. But what we've discovered is that our words are like toothpaste. Once you squeeze it out of the tube, you can't get it back in. When was the last time you said something you wish you could just undo? Something you said to your spouse out of anger. A word that you said to your child, also out of frustration. We can't take those back. We can say we're sorry. But James says, don't give the responsibility of teaching to anybody because words have weight. And we must take this under serious consideration, he says. But his message is clear here. When it comes to making someone a teacher, especially as it relates to God's word, this should not be handed off to just any teacher of any kind. And his message is clear. Look at what it says in James 3, verses 3 and 8. Indeed, we have put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, he says, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. He says, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man, he says, can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, he says, full of deadly poison. We can control all these other things, he says, but we cannot control the tongue. It only takes a spark, as the song says, to get a fire going. A spark of an unkind word, a spark of gossip and innuendo, a spark of untruth carefully crafted and constructed to sound like it is truth, which James says has the potential of destroying the entire body, not just the individual, but destroying the very body of Christ. Why? Because our words are either touched by the fires of heaven or our words are touched by the fires of hell. I love this quote by Eugene Burdick, the author. He says, "It is though all the wickedness in the whole world were wrapped up in that little piece of flesh." That's a strong statement, that all the wickedness, it seems like, in the world is wrapped up in this little piece of flesh, and the flesh that he's talking about is what each and every one of us has, this thing called the tongue, which is why whenever you and I hear something as Christians, dear friends, we always need to pause and ask ourselves three simple questions. Question number one, is it true? Because everything we hear is not true, amen? Should it be told? Because just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be told. And the third question we need to ask ourselves when we hear something is, am I the one that should tell it? Because just because something is true and just because it should be told does not mean that God has ordained you to be the one to tell it. That's why social media today is such a dangerous thing. It's a good thing, but it's a dangerous thing. And why is it that we can take something so good, full of potential to do so good in the lives of people, and turn it into something evil? We go on social media and spread things that we've heard. We don't even know whether they're true or not, but we put it out there. We can destroy people's careers. We can destroy their lives. We can destroy their reputations. I will never forget. I had been in ministry for about maybe 2 to 3 years. And I went back to my alma mater for a conference for ministers. And we were in the cafeteria eating. And you know, when guests come, they always put the best food out. You know that, right? At our schools? Yeah. If you don't know that, you will. So I'm standing behind the salad bar, you know, fixing my plate. And I hear this voice from the other side of the cafeteria call my name. Charles! Charles! And I'm going, huh? And he runs up to me and grabs me and hugs me. You remember the days when you used to be able to hug people? And he said, "Man, I'm so glad to see you." And I said, "Okay." No, you don't understand. I'm really glad to see you. I said, "Okay." No, you don't understand. I heard. Then he got my attention. I said, "What did you hear?" "Man, I heard you left the ministry, became an accountant, and moved to Florida. And I'm trying to figure out in my mind how he came about that." And then it hit me. Could it be because I went to Florida to marry a woman from Florida? I have a degree in accounting. And I left my church to go to the seminary to get my master's degree. But by the time he heard it, it came out as, I've left the ministry. I've become an accountant, and I have moved to Florida. Thank God we didn't have social media back then. That would have been all over the place. Did you hear? Our words have weight. But James isn't finished yet. Look at James chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, with it, talking about the tongue, my tongue, your tongue, we bless our God and Father. And with it, he says, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, he says, not a different mouth, but out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and flesh. So how is it then, James is saying, can both blessings and curses come from the same mouth? But here's what James is really saying. Here's the essence of his entire thought here. And that is that there's something not wrong with our mouths, but there's something wrong with our hearts. Because our words are woefully and dangerously inconsistent. One minute we're blessing people with our words, and the next minute with the same mouth, with the same tongue, we are cursing people with our words. It's a heart issue, and only God can tame the heart. Only God can fix it. And no one knows better than this than David. What did David say? Psalm 51, create what? Within me. What kind of heart? A clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Weight of Words. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
None of the Bible tells us that we should bring our requests before God, and that's all well and good. But if we're only coming into the presence of God to speak to God and not have God speak to us, we're bringing the sacrifice of a fool.
It's been said that listening takes much effort, but without a doubt, it is the path to true godly wisdom. Next week, you'll want to listen in again as Charles Tapp shares his message, The Sacrifice of Fools. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.